This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Episode 1,000,003. I am the one true God. A lot of false gods out there. A lot of posers. A lot of Zeuses. A lot of Odins. A lot of Quetzalcoatls. A lot of Eric Claptons. Back in the day, when he wasn't even the best guitarist, Hendrix. But I am the one true God, joined as always by the one true sidekick, Joan of Arc. Joan, you look resplendent today.
Resplendent? Thank you, my lord.
I wish I had created mankind so that they could see sound and they could appreciate how good you look in that armor. Where did you get that vambrace?
Oh, the vamp. Thank you. The vambrace is actually from, well, in 1897, I met this guy in a ship. He was selling his vambrace. He didn't need it. So I added that to my collection. I sort of Frankensteined this armor, but thank you.
No, it looks like one ensemble, and the pauldron completely matches the tassets.
No one ever notices that. Thank you.
I am God. I don't give this job to dummies. I do notice these things. No, I love everything about it. I love the whole ensemble, the gorget, the placard, the rear brace, the gauntlet, the greaves, and the sabatons on your feet. Wow.
Oh, I know.
Nice sabatons.
These sabatons, they were a lot of money, but I just sabaton-gasmed when I saw them.
Understandable. I would ask one thing, though. Your queer ass.
What? Oh, the queer ass. Yes.
Could you get your queer ass out of here?
I know. No, and it's squeakier than normal. So I'll oil the queer ass and then I'll put it back on and then.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I love the ensemble, but I just can't stand your queer ass. Before I forget, end of the show, after the Lizzie Borden interview, we have a song debut. I've written a new song that I want you all to hear. I think you're going to find it very inspiring. May remind you of certain sounds from the 60s, from the beach. Hint, hint. And, what's the buzz?
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Those of you who follow me on Twitter, and if you don't, by the way, obviously go to hell. I tweeted a few times this week about India, the subcontinent of India. There's a huge farmer strike happening there right now. The biggest strike in the history of the world. 250 million farmers and sympathizers are on strike protesting new agricultural laws put forth by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that they say will make it impossible for them to sustain their livelihoods as farmers. I put out several tweets on behalf of the farmers. I got some nice support from a number of Indians. I also got some pushback from a number of people from India, a lot of hardcore Modi fans who are a lot like hardcore Donald Trump fans in that they love their country but hate most of the people who live in it. Now, what they said to me basically was, God, this is none of your business. This is an Eastern thing. This is a subcontinent thing. This is an Asia thing. You have your turf. You're the Near East. You're Europe. You're North America. You're South America. You're everywhere in the Pacific where the missionaries went and weren't immediately killed and eaten. But the subcontinent, that's our turf, butt out.
Wow.
I understand that point of view. My response is this. I know India is not lacking for gods. You know how many gods they have in India, Joan? This is true.
How many?
You know how many?
No, I don't know.
33 crore. Now, what is a crore, you're going to ask?
What's a crore?
I told you were going to ask it. Mm-hmm. A crore is a unit they only use in India. It means 10 million.
What?
So 33 crore is 330 million. They have 330 million gods in India. One god for every 1/4 of a person in India. So they are godded up the yin-yang. They are crazy-ass godded. I understand that. But I am trying to break into the market. I offer something different from all the other gods, India. No, I don't offer meditation. No, I don't offer detachment. No, I don't offer a path to nirvana. For me, karma is not a boomerang. It's a bullet. I don't believe in reincarnation, and I can't offer you that because I know what happens when you die. And Joe, you can vouch for me. Don't say anything other than this, because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But it's not reincarnation. It's one and done. There's no second chance. You only live once, unless you're a blood relative of mine. But I can tell you this. I offer things that no Brahma, no Shiva, no Vishnu can possibly offer you. I offer you stern judgment. I offer you harsh punishment. I offer you tons and tons of dogma. I offer you self-righteousness. I offer you a kind of polytheism in that there are three of me, which is also one of me. And most importantly of all, I offer the extraordinary satisfaction of knowing that you are going to heaven and everybody else who isn't exactly like you is going to hell. Indra's not going to do that for you, okay? Kali, crazy chick. She can't do that for you, India. So that's why I'm beseeching you, consider me, consider Jehovah, consider the J-Man. If I can just get 1% of you to come to my camp, come to Team God, that would be 13 million people. That would make such a difference to both me and my marketing team. It would be all the difference in the world. So please consider that. And that's it. That's all for the top of the show. I think that's the only topic I want to discuss. So we're done.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yes, I watched the Super Bowl. Fucking Tom Brady.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Time now for my favorite segment. My second favorite segment. Time now for a segment. Bible study. It's no secret that the Bible has decreased in popularity over the last 2,000 or 3,000 years. There are many reasons for this, but I think one of the biggest reasons is that people no longer understand just how alluring and enticing and earthy and, quite frankly, how hot the Bible really is. So I chose today's passage to counter that incredibly false idea. It's Genesis 5, and Joan and I were talking about this before the show, and Joan, you had an excellent idea as to how we can present this and study this in the right way.
Yeah, well, this is one of my favorites. So I picked out some music, which I gave to Jesus to play underneath while we read it. I wanted to, you know, spice this up for the young people listening.
Is that what the young people like these days? They like the spicing?
The WAP audience.
What does WAP stand for?
Wet ass pussy.
Okay, here we go. Genesis 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that I created man, in my likeness I made him. I created them male and female.
Male and female.
And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son and called him Seth.
Seth, Seth, Seth.
And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years. And he begat sons and daughters.
Begat.
And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos.
Enos.
And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan.
Naughty.
And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel.
Very naughty.
And Mahalalel begat Jared.
He could beget.
And Jared begat Enoch.
He loved to beget.
And Enoch begat Methuselah.
He put the big in beget.
And Methuselah begat Lamech. And all the years of Methuselah were 969. That was great. That was great.
That felt good.
That's how it should be done. You go to the, if this was done in church that way, imagine if the priest was doing this from the pulpit and reading it like that about begetting this and begetting that, you mm-hmm. know, pretty soon everyone in the pews would just be begetting all over. You know what I'm talking about?
Like, get it. Yeah.
And being fruitful mm-hmm. and multiplying. And that's how you grow a church. Damn it. That's how you grow it. Oh, and that was Bible study. Every week, I answer one prayer. This is Prayer of the Week.
Prayer of the Week!
A reminder to listeners, I only answer prayers that are placed in reviews of this show, Godcast, on Apple Podcasts. That's it. If you place a prayer there, there's a chance I'll answer it. Don't get on your knees, fold your hands, turn your eyes to heaven, say, oh, Heavenly Father, I want this, I want that. I'm not listening. I've never listened. You look pathetic. Okay, Joan?
You're just going to answer just one. So,
That's what I do. Yeah. Just one prayer.
Okay, I have a couple here that I was deciding between because they're all really good. Like, some people
just the one.
Want something for themselves. Some
just
people want
one.
Things from, like, you know, for goodness for everybody, and it's hard to know
Joan,
which one I should...
Joan, I wanted to tell you something on this topic. Guess who I bumped into the other day?
Who?
Short answer, every human being on the planet. Longer answer, Kirsten Dunst. Do you know Kirsten Dunst?
Of course.
Remarkably talented actress.
Yeah.
Lovely woman. Mm-hmm. Very bubbly. Mm-hmm. Very genial.
Yeah.
She is interested in a career in podcast sidekickery.
What?
And she's very decisive. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting, Joan?
As a matter of fact, I just decided on a great prayer for this week. This is from @SavvyVO, and they write, long-time listener, first-time prayer, pretty pleased with cherries on top, tell me why.
That's the prayer from @SavvyVO, just tell me why.
Yes.
'Cause. And that was Prayer of the Week.
Prayer of the Week!
All right, stick around. We've got Lizzie Borden next. I'm going to hatchet her. A few questions. Axe would have been the better pun there. My guest today is a Massachusetts spinster who may or may not have slaughtered her parents on August 4th, 1892. She has two books on the topic, If I Did It and Sorry I Axed. Please welcome Lizzie Borden.
Thanks for having me, God. Thanks for having me. I'm doing pretty good, you know. I'm doing pretty good.
Is that a Fall River accent? You're from Fall River, Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's a perfect Fall River, a classic Fall River, Massachusetts accent. I swear, this is what we all sound like.
No, I know. Yes, you know.
Of course, you know. You know everything. What am I saying? Telling you, God, something new. No, there's no such thing.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you. And people are going to discover through this interview that you're much more vivacious and outgoing and charming than people, I think, assume you were.
Thank you. I hope to prove that because a lot of people thought I was just this like weird little lady, like pretty strong lady because they're like, we think she's strong, but like this strong, weird lady who just kind of liked to hang out inside her house, you know? But I'm more fun than that. I know a lot of stuff. I know how to jump rope. I can juggle with one hand. I'm still working on two hands, but one hand I could get two balls or pairs going or whatever. So I know a lot of stuff.
That's interesting. That's great because, you know, I think for a lot of people, you are defined primarily by one incident.
Oh.
Right in the middle of your life there, that one day. I think you remember the one.
I know what you're talking about. Of course I remember it. Made me who I am today. It made me the Lizzie Borden. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Was it always Lizzie, by the way? Because most people go with Elizabeth or Liz or Bess, but you're a Lizzie.
For a long time, my parents were like, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. And I screeched at them and I said, call me Lizzie. And really hit those Z's hard. I did that. I like Lizzie, way more than Elizabeth or anything. But for a long time, my parents tried to call me Elizabeth. And I actually, there was a time where I just wouldn't answer to Elizabeth until they called me Lizzie.
And then I guess some issues like that with your parents never maybe really fully worked themselves out in a satisfactory way.
I didn't do anything.
All right, well, let's get into your life a little bit, because I don't think people know much about your life. Right. I think you were, you born and grew up in Fall River, Massachusetts. And tell us a little bit about your childhood and your parents and how you got along with them.
It was a classic childhood. Mother died pretty early in life. You know, classic for back then when it was like, you make it to 38 and people are like, oh my God, you did it. But my mom died a little earlier in my life and that bummed me out because we were very close. I was very close with my mom. And then my dad married this one hag who she was just this fat little old hag. She was just a bad, bad stepmother. She was just a bad, stupid stepmother. But anyways, I had, me and my sister, we had a good time just being kids, playing in rivers, catching frogs, ripping their legs off maybe. Just kind of stuff like that.
And I remember you also used to do the thing that everybody in that era did, which is that you take that hoop and then you push the hoop forward with the stick.
Oh, I love that hoop and stick. It's called hoop and stick. You know, kids these days, if they only had hoop and stick, we would have a better world.
Yeah, it was a simpler time. It was a simpler time when all you needed to amuse yourself was a hoop and a stick.
Exactly. If you could make it 15 feet without the hoop falling, holy shit, that was a good day. You know, that was a good day to be alive.
Having monitored you, as I do everybody for your entire life, I know the closest you ever got really to a romantic encounter was one time at a party. You let Alexander Graham Bell go under the shirt over the bra.
Yeah. I was at a party and I saw him and he was like, hey, I want to see what this Lizzie Borden is all about. And I was like, I'll let you go under and over, dude. And you only get to touch my left tit. That was the deal. So he only got the left tit because, can I be honest, my right tit is too hard. And it freaks me out, and I knew it would freak Alexander Graham Bell out.
I did kind of make it that way, and I do give you I apologize for that.
Why
while
did
I'm here.
You give me such a rock hard right titty, God. It's kind of embarrassing. Like, I've shattered vases and stuff.
Yeah, you have to understand, like, when I make people like that physically, I'm not thinking of their feelings. I'm thinking of my amusement.
God. Oh, God. Come on. I also didn't know you were constantly watching me while I was growing up and trying to hook up with guys and everything.
Well, it's not personal. I watch every... That's the gig. That's the gig. I mean, I watch everybody at all times.
Okay.
That's kind of the things.
Do you watch people in the bathroom?
I can watch people in the bathroom. I choose not to. I'll tell you one thing I can do. I see everybody who masturbates as they masturbate.
God, you do? Then you like it?
No, I don't like it. It's generally fairly uncomfortable for me.
Okay, good.
But,
I'm glad.
I'm a big god. I can handle it. Okay. But it's a little awkward.
Okay. Sure.
Awkward. As you grew up also, you also became very proficient with axes.
Oh, yeah.
I know you use them a lot from chopping wood. You used to use them as cutlery.
Oh, yeah. I mean, have you ever tried to cut a tomato? It's hard. It's hard with a stupid knife, but give me an axe and I will just slice you some nice tomato slices. I'm talking thick, nice, not Subway sandwich ones, but like a better deli.
Your father, at the time of his passing, was worth $300,000.
Whoa! So he was, like, better than Bezos or around there?
Yes, yes.
Well, good. I'm glad he's fucking dead.
Yeah. He was worth a lot of money. He was worth a lot of money. And as you said, he was married to his second wife, your stepmother, whom you did not particularly care for.
No, I told her, I was like, I'm not calling you mother. I told her that. I was like, I'm not calling you mother.
What did you call her?
Bitch.
Yeah, you did. You sure did. I remember you called her that a lot.
Yeah.
Let's get to what I think, again, many would argue is the most important day of Lizzie Borden's life. And that is August 4th, 1892. Mm-hmm. This is a chance for all the people who didn't know you because they weren't born yet to hear it from your end of things.
Okay.
What went down on that day?
Okay. I'll tell you, okay? Because I got nothing to hide. I got nothing to hide. So on August 4th, It was a typical day in the boarding house, you know? I was up in my room in the morning, and I gotta tell you, I had a lock on my door because I didn't want that bitch stepmother of mine to come in because she likes to, she was a snooper. She liked to snoop around and like to, you know, she sucked, man. She just sucked bad. So it was just a typical morning. Father went out to go have some meetings like he does because he's a businessman. You know, he's a businessman.
Right.
Then bitch went out too. She had to go call on some friends. So I was like, great, get out of here. Okay, get out of here. I need my time. I worked out a little bit.
What was your exercise routine back then?
I just walked up and down the stairs a couple of times. And that, I'll tell you, gets you going. It gets you going. And a corset, shit, man, it'll fuck you up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, I was outside eating a bunch of pears. I was just outside in the barn pounding pears because I love pears. I love to just pound like 6 or 7 pears at a time. Just, I was there. And then I get home.
I have to ask you, are you an Anjou woman or a Bartlett woman with the pears?
What is the first one?
Anjou.
What is that? That sounds fancy.
No, yeah. Anjou pear. Never heard of it. Okay, so obviously you're a Bartlett pear woman. Not Basque. You don't do Basque. You don't do any of the...
What are you talking about, God?
I've made a number of different cultivars of pears.
I just had the classic, you know, greenish, funny shape.
Okay, the pear-shaped one.
The pear-shaped one.
The pear-shaped pear.
Pear-shaped pear, yes. Pear-shaped pear. And I just, you know, we had a pear tree, so I was just pounding those in the farm, in the barn, because also, like, my stupid bitch stepmother would always make fun of me about how much I eat. She always would make fun of me for how much I eat, and I was just like, you know what, fine, I'm going to go just do what I want in the barn. And then I come in after so many pears because I had to take a shit, and lo and behold, holy, my stepmother's dead. Oh, I hate her so much. I was like, what? What is it? And then that's it. I was pounding pears in the barn, and then and who'd have thunk a double murder could have happened.
Obviously, what you're saying is you didn't do it.
No, my God. You think, no. Come on. Why? Come on. You sound nuts. I can't even imagine having the strength. No. Are you kidding? No. I could never, God, just bash someone with an axe over and over, and then like after the first hit making it be like, whoa, that felt really good, I better just keep fucking going, I'm gonna just keep going. I could never do anything like that. I don't know that feeling of raw power.
You sound very convincing. You sound very convincing.
Raw, Ross,
very convincing
power that just makes you fucking feel so good and confident and strong, and yeah. Oh shit. Yeah.
But that's not you, though. That's not you.
What? Yeah, no. God, no. No. I'm busy. I'm chill.
You were, of course, a few days after the murders, arrested. You were taken into custody by law enforcement.
Right.
And I remember this. As you were taken into custody, over and over again, you yelled, fuck the police.
I was saying that because they weren't doing their job correctly. You know, they were, we see this all the time. We see this all the time where a murder happens, maybe a double murder happens, and the police just need someone to pin it on, and they just tunnel vision in on that person. And that was me, where I was like, there's so many other people in Fall River you got to check out.
So you think they were unfairly focusing in on the only person who possibly could have done it?
Yeah, hey, come on, guy. It could have been, you know, there's so many people in Fall River that could have jimmied all 17 locks on the front door and come in and easily killed my nasty stepmother, and then waited like an hour and 20 minutes until my dad came home, killed him. Then this whole time I was pounding pears in the barn. So, yeah, it wasn't me.
By the way, just so everybody knows who's listening, when she says pounding pears, that's not a euphemism for some other act. She means pounding pears. She means eating a lot of pears.
Yeah, I mean eating a lot of pears. I mean, eating a lot of pears.
So you went to trial. It was the trial of the 19th century. Were you ever concerned that you were going to be found guilty?
Oh, of course. Of course, you know, because you never know. Because like I say, fuck the police. They were really forcing in ideas about me and me wanting to kill my stepmom and my dad. You know, they were really saying all this stuff about how, like, my dad gave my stepmom a bunch more money than he ever gave me and my sister. And then that was like, I got mad, which I did. I got really mad about that, but not to the point where I would just like hack away at two people. It was kind of, and it's hard, like, I'm not that, I would never strip down nude and just attack two people in my family with an axe. And then, you know, saw off that axe head and then try to burn the handle, but it survived the fire. I would never do that. I would never, ever do that.
How do you feel the moment you hear the words not guilty? What's going through your mind?
Oh, my God. My God. What's going through my mind? Holy shit. I got away with it. Just kidding. That's not. I was. Thank goodness. The evidence wasn't there. I see. I didn't do it. I'm telling you, I didn't do it. I said. I know that. I know I didn't do it. Just happy. Joy. Pure joy. Relief, but not the kind that a murderer getting away with it would feel. You know what I'm saying? You know exactly what I'm saying. You're God. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. But it's interesting you describe the feelings you're describing, because I know shortly after you were found not guilty, you privately wrote a book that would later be sort of, the theme would be picked up over a century later by another famous alleged double murderer. Mm. You wrote a book called If I Did It. And that was a direct speculation of how you would have done it had you done it.
That's exactly it. Because I did it because I think people were so curious of like, Lizzie, right, if you had done it, how would you have done it? It wasn't me trying to just get any weight of the world and guilt off of me somehow.
Sure.
You know, it wasn't that at all. It was absolutely just me being like, the world wants to know. If I were to have done it, which I did not, here is exactly how I would have done it, when I would have done it, everything. So, yeah, I wrote that book.
It's an amazing book. I'll tell you what's amazing about it is it is so plausible. It is so credible. It seems to be like exactly how you would have done it had you done it. It makes total sense. Every detail adds up.
Thank you.
It's amazing how you conceived that, Lizzie.
Thank you.
You went on after that to live 35 more years. I don't really, is there anything you want to say about the 35 years afterwards?
I was treated pretty poorly. People were rooting for me during the trial, but as soon as the trial was over, everybody who was even rooting for me was like, you did it. We want to stay away from you.
Right.
Yeah. So I had, I was the house that a lot of little kids would see and be like, oh, we hear a murderer lives in there, you know. And I'm not going to lie, every once in a while, I would grab an axe and I would come racing out my front door just to give them a little scare, you know, because you got to kind of embrace your God. Hey, if lemons make lemonade. So I was like, hey, if you want to say I'm an axe murderer, I'm going to give you a show.
Right. That makes total sense.
I'm going to give you a show. So, yeah.
Now, I want to talk about what, surprisingly enough, is probably the most lasting legacy of your life, which is a popular jump rope rhyme for children.
Yes.
And I'm going to play it right. I'm going to play it for us right now.
Okay.
Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41.
Now, who wrote that? Was that your lyric, or was that somebody that did you outsource that?
You know, I'm not gonna lie. I saw some kids playing like a couple of months after the trial. I saw some kids playing, and they're like, "Whoa, you're Lizzie Borden!" Like, "Whoa, did you?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, you're jump roping." And I was like, "Can I get in on this double dutch?" And they're like, "Yeah, sure." And I'm not gonna lie, I had been kind of thinking of it for a while. Because that's kind of how, like, your legacy lives on, is getting a little song or something. And so, you know, I wrote it. I kind of wrote it during trial when I was bored.
It was very shrewd. Very shrewd, because it guarantees you seemingly immortality.
Yeah.
And I don't think any other serial killer, well, no, that's not true. There actually are a couple of other serial killers who did write some rhymes that have now become used in playgrounds. I'm gonna play one for you right now. Hold on a second.
Okay.
John Wayne Gacy was a clown who buried victims in the ground. Then as soon as he was caught, he painted clowns that people bought.
I like that one. It does not have it's a ripoff.
It is.
It's a ripoff.
Is it that flattery or whatever? Imitation is flattery.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
There
yes.
we go. Yeah. So, hey, I'll take it. That Wayne Gacy guy sounds fun.
Yeah. 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 He was, it was an interesting life he had. There's one other rhyme. I'm going to just run this by you. Get your reaction on this.
Jeffrey Dahmer with his knives took 70 people's lives. When he knew that they were dead, he ate them with a glass of red.
Wow.
I get it. Like, to me at that point, it's like Superman 3. Like, it's not.
Yes.
Like, I would not want to jump rope to that. I honestly have to tell you.
Hey, I get it. Like that. I would have more hard times hitting all the words, you know, trying to. And as a kid, I'd be like, what is a glass of red? Like, what does that mean? You know, but.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. In theory, the idea of a song for children about Jeffrey Dahmer eating 17 bodies is a good idea. In theory.
In theory, it's a great idea.
Yeah, but in practice, I don't like the execution here.
Right.
I don't like how it came out.
Right. Because these kids need to know about these freaks, you know, these freaks roaming around. And so if they're singing that Jeffrey Dahmer thing and they're like, whoa, this dude's reminding me of Dahmer, I better bail.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
It's a good thing.
Lizzie, thank you so much for dropping by. Of course, you had no choice, but nevertheless, thank you so much for dropping by.
Thank you for having me, God.
You're welcome. And by the way, you look great. Is that, that's a period dress you're wearing, right?
Oh,
that's
yeah. Corset and all. It's very hot. I've already fainted 12 times today because it's hard to breathe. But yeah, thank you. You like it?
I do. I know the corset's very, very hard to wear on the waist, right?
Very hard. All of my organs are like, I had a doctor's appointment the other day, and apparently my liver is just like where my heart should be. And we don't know where my heart went. My heart's somewhere, like, I think in my back.
Lizzie Borden, thank you for dropping by the Godcast.
Thanks for having me, God.
Well, that's our show. I want to thank Lizzie Borden. I want to thank @SavvyVO, our guest prayer. And I want to thank Joan of Arc. Thank you, Joan.
Thank you. I know I got a little uncomfortable, but...
No, it was very uncomfortable. And now I'm going to leave you, as promised, with a song. It's my take on a Beach Boys classic. I hope you like it. Talk to you next week.
You may believe I love you, that I'm smiling down from above you, but I'd smile the same without you. I couldn't care less about you. I only know why I even made you. None of you can perceive me, and you wouldn't want to believe me, 'cause when you start praying to me, your words are like poison to me. I only know why I even made you.
He only knows why he even made me.
I only know why I even made
you. He only knows why the hell he bothered.
I only know why I even made
you. He only knows why you walk this planet.
Podcast is a Forever Dog production. Audio production and engineering by Left-Handed Radio. Executive produced by Alex Ramsey, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and David Javerbaum. Original music by Gabe Lopez. Joan of Arc appears courtesy of Tara Sands. For more original podcasts, visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. For ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content from this show and others, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And if you haven't already, remember to follow God on Twitter at the Tweet of God.
Forever!